Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worthit.
Hi, I'm Imri, the host of the Wannabe Podcast, the podcast that takes you from where you are now to where you want to be in 30 minutes or less. Thank you so much for joining me again on this very exciting week. We are approaching episode 50. Oh my God. Thank you to everyone that has left a review on iTunes. Please do keep them coming. I love receiving those and it really helps me build and grow the show. This week, Priska is back and we are talking all things partnerships and collaborations. What is the difference? We dig in and find out. And what are the questions you should be asking before you go into a partnership? We get into legals. Do you need a contract? What should go into your contract? And what to do if it's not working out? This is a great episode. So let's get your notebooks out and let's go. Hey, Priska.
Hi, Imri.
You always come so calm.
Sometimes I wish I was a little bit more.
But I haven't seen you. I saw you a few weeks ago, but
yeah.
In the in-between parts, which almost never happens.
Yeah.
We should hang out more.
We should. Now it's warm. We're going to do something in like the picnic or something.
Yes. I saw you in Brighton living your best life.
Oh, it was nice. It was really nice. Yeah, it was really, really nice.
We went out
there. We did a talk to some students at Brighton University, which was cool. And then instead of going home, because who goes to Brighton, right? Like on a random day, we decided to go to the pier.
I mean, I do go to Brighton on a random day.
Do you know
but
what?
Cool.
But that's what I'm saying. This is the life I need to live, right? Yeah. Going to Brighton on a random day. So, yeah, it was great. And then we ended up like having amazing conversations about the industry, about our personal lives, about growth. And then we just made our way home around 9 o'clock and it was a really good day.
Oh, nice. Sounds lovely. I've done a couple of talks and events in Brighton, actually.
Ooh.
Brighton loves me.
Brighton loves done something.
Yeah, and it's so fun. But all of the talks I've had to go to, well, bar one was in the evening. So I've always just gone like after work.
Oh, okay.
And I'm just there. I'm like, I can't even enjoy the pier. I mean, the pier is not amazing.
It is very nice.
But the actual atmosphere of Brighton's really nice and it's got some really cool shops. So
yeah.
Glad you went. I saw some favorable tweets, so well done. All right, so this week the listeners gave us a really hard topic. We're talking about partnerships and collaborations. Yay. Yeah.
An interesting one.
What are the questions that people should ask before they enter into a partnership? Let's go with partnership first and then we'll touch on collaborations because I think there's slightly different lines of questionings for each.
With partnerships, I think it's one of those things that you really have to break down what the purpose behind the partnership is.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many layers to something that intense and something that requires a lawyer or someone to like pull up contracts. So, but definitely outlining the goalposts, putting down like the duration of time that you want to invest into, like working with each other, what one person is investing, what one person hopes to get out of the other. So a lot of partnerships, for example, like, Under Armour and Anthony Joshua, that's a partnership.
Yeah.
Where Under Armour benefiting from his reach, targeting his audience through their content.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Joshua gets the benefits of working with quite a huge company. And it's over a certain period of time. Not only does he make money from it up front, also I'm sure they've got something along the line where he gets a percentage of sales and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that stuff really needs to be outlined from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time what smaller businesses do is that they say, okay, this is what we want. Let's see what happens over time. And then we can set some more goals. But that's not the way it should be done. The goal should be set from the get-go, and like KPIs and stuff like that. And that should be managed quite often. Like when it comes to partnerships, you have to have someone in place that is there to project manage it as well.
Yeah.
And make it, and make sure that these things are being achieved probably on a weekly basis is what's done with a bigger company.
Oh, wow.
That is intense. Yeah, it is very intense. It's very time consuming. But I mean, again, it would depend on what kind of business it is.
Sure. Yeah, I think some of the questions of the, I guess technically we can consider what we do partnerships with the hosts that we have, especially more so now because we work differently with our content creators. So it is coming into that partnership arena. So we have like, we did have to bring in a lawyer to make sure that everything was really clear from the get-go. And then there's still some room to maneuver in parts of that contract. So there's like our standard terms and conditions of what it means to work with us. And I think when you're the bigger company, the onus tends to fall on you to provide a lot of the legal work because you have the resources. But then because you're the smaller person, you have to make sure you're not being taken advantage of and really going through that and what can be changed, what can be switched over. So I think for us, we do allow room in at least one part of the contract where they can set their expectations of us. We've got a pretty comprehensive, like, this is what we promise you. But we have gone through negotiations where they say, oh, can we change maybe this percentage of, of revenue? And can we make sure that you're reporting this to us at this interval?
See.
So those kinds of things are, if you're really smart, be thinking about what is it that you want to be reported to? Because if I'm not contractually obligated to provide something, then I don't have to do it.
Then you won't do it. Yeah. Exactly.
It's actually good faith and goodwill, which is a very different kettle of fish island in contracts.
Yeah.
So.
And a lot of people lean on goodwill like in month one and then expect it in month two, but actually that person isn't obligated to do that. The bigger company or the holding company, let's say, isn't obligated to do that. I think every contract also needs to have an exit clause.
Sure.
So like highlight that is super super key. Yes. Like that is, I think everyone who's done contracts without a lawyer has realized how important that is. So yeah, that needs to be in there as well.
I learned that the hard way. Yes. definitely need to have some sort of exit plan or strategy, which clearly outlines what you're walking away with and what they are walking away with. There really isn't a contract on earth, not a legally binding one anyway, as far as I'm understood from our lawyer, that you have to be able to let someone leave. Like a contract must have some sort of get out clause. So you can't just own someone's life in perpetuity. Like it's just not possible.
If you're Stevie J, probably.
Yeah.
Do you watch Love and Hip Hop?
I do not anymore.
So this is what's happening at the moment. He signs these women and they are like, the contract says, and maybe they're doing this for TV, but the contracts always say like 20 to 35% is what he gets of everything.
Oh, okay.
Like even if he didn't initiate the deal, like he gets 35% of everything. So like at the moment, one of his artists is struggling to like leave the contract because obviously she's binded for like a really long time. And so that's one thing. Although we're hoping that maybe someone who would be like her is listening to the podcast and knows that, okay, if someone is saying they're going to take 35%, make sure that you have that exit strategy in there so that you don't end up on a TV show really upset about like leaving someone who's taking 35%, which is interesting in itself.
Yes. You need to have a really clear exit in that situation. I don't know how to help you. American law works so differently.
Yeah,
as well.
It does.
Like their law and contracts work in like a whole different level. I experienced that too, and I have no desire to run back into American arms with regards to contracts. So sorry, Americans, I can't help you with that. It is too hard, and you guys are too litigious for my liking. But in the UK, everything is very much relaxed, and there is this whole good faith, goodwill leaning, and everything is done with like these kind of shake hands and emails and back and forth, and it is very casual, and it tends to be okay
probably in the majority of times, but when it goes bad, it can go really, really bad. So I think when you're entering into a, especially with partnership agreements, being very clear from the get-go how long this is going to be for, and what you are obligated to do, be very clear on your obligations, because failure to commit to that is a material, can be a material breach, which means you can get sued for the losses. But it's really expensive to sue people, especially here. So chances are you're probably not going to get sued. But I would say just be very clear on your obligations, because it would be, it's not that they would necessarily sue you, but it can be grants to exit early, for example, and to cut it off or to demand money back. And you need to be really, really, really clear on what that is. So I would say, in terms of, make sure your legals are right and tight. Surprisingly, lawyers are not super expensive. You'd be surprised at how affordable you can find lawyers. So
they're not super cheap either.
They're not cheap. they're not cheap,
but they're not out of the ordinary.
They're not thousands and thousands like you think. You can get freelance lawyers who are living out in the countryside, and they've just like turned, like, you can probably search for some women who were former lawyers in the city, have moved out and either decided to pursue motherhood full time, and they can look over your contracts for you. That, and there's contract lawyers that are doing like hourly rates. You can also have, you can also find lawyers that have websites, and you can just give them a call and ask them questions. Now, lawyers are really good at speaking on the phone and not telling you anything, but telling you stuff. It's like a really bizarre, twisted way of communicating, but you can just get on the phone and ask questions about what your contract laws are. And also, if you need a contract reviewed, you can also just call any agency that deals with that and say, hey, I have this contract, how much would you charge? And you can shop around endlessly. Also, People Per Hour surprisingly has a huge number of freelance lawyers. And if you just look them up on LinkedIn, you can just vet them, and you can also just hire them that way, and you can set a fee or a budget, and you can see who comes to you. So things like People Per Hour. What's the other one that does like freelance? No, not Fiverr. I would not get.
Do not do that. Maybe on Fiverr.
No, it's like People Per Hour, and there's another one, another big one, Elancer. I think it used to be called. It might be called something else now.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, so there's a few like where you can pick up any kind of freelancer for any of your requirements. You can get someone to do media and.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worthit.
PR and all kinds of things. And actually, surprisingly, there are a few lawyers that do it that way too, that put their freelance services on those sites. So you can actually pick up a fairly decent trained individual who can review your contracts or even draw them up for you in that way. Now you know. Now you be knowing. In a collaboration, what questions? Are they really that different?
I mean, of the... I wouldn't, even with a collaboration, I mean, I wouldn't even say don't have some type of document that has, I would say like, make sure, emails, right? This is something I think a lot of us can learn from the corporate world, is making sure almost everything is in an email.
Absolutely.
Or making sure that it's, once, let's say you have a phone conversation, just write down the notes and then send them over via email and say, okay, this is what we had, this is the conversation we had, these are what we said, and so on and so forth. It's very, very important so that everybody knows where they stand. That's key. That's something I didn't know maybe 2-3 years ago. Okay, I did know it, but now I know it even more.
I knew that after I realized how important it was.
Because it's almost like a verbal, a written agreement.
Yeah.
And it solidifies all your verbal agreements as well. They're more short term, so of course, but definitely going to like dinner or like lunch and literally getting to know the person you're about to collaborate with. A lot of the time you can like maybe send an email and say, I want to work with you on this, but say, actually, before we like confirm anything over email, how about we go for dinner and actually have a concrete conversation about like my goals and my expectations, and you can ask me questions, vice versa. So I think that's really key. Imri, do you have like any other suggestions?
In terms of collaborations, I haven't done too many, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because they are so short term, they like, if I was to consider booking guests as a collaboration, it's very much like, I agreed to record this and it's very straightforward. Yeah. And usually the request kind of outlines from the outset what it is that I want.
Yeah.
If you send an unclear request, typically you're probably not going to get that collaboration.
Yeah.
So usually from the outset, people have a general understanding of what it is that you will be delivering to them.
One thing I will say is when you're doing a collaboration, or let's say your company, you want to do a partnership, is figuring out the time you want that to start and planning a way beforehand.
Mm.
So let's say you're...
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Doing collaboration for July, you want to do a collaboration for July, now is the best time to have that conversation.
Yeah.
Because you do need to have that back, and you need to give room for that back and forth. Think that's extremely key.
That is so
extremely
important.
Key. A lot of the time when it comes to any form of work, people think because the turnover date needs to be this day, that they need to have the conversation maybe like 3 weeks before. No, like three months before. Yeah. Three to six to nines. Most big partnerships are probably like done a year before
it's
anyway.
True. Yeah.
Or the turnover time is super, super quick as well. So you like if you look at like Michael Dapper is doing a lot of Nike stuff. Of course, his success is quite recent. So we know that, of course, they didn't have much time, but they had more people in the room, enough people in the room to have that conversation with and to make sure that stuff does get happened. Whereas if you're a smaller company, you definitely need more months.
Yeah, you do need more time for sure. Yeah, I forgot about time being of the essence, because when you have, especially if you've got like a really quick turnaround anyway and you want a quick turnaround, surprisingly most collaborations do not need to be as time sensitive as you think they do. Just because you've emailed someone doesn't mean they need to do it in the next week. Sometimes things are okay to wait. And also it's that like you said, having that back and forth actually prevents disappointment, because I cannot tell you how many times I have arranged something or hired someone to do something or book someone to do something, and it just, I'm always like left somewhat disappointed in the end result, because it wasn't what I expected. And being able to clearly communicate your expectations to whoever the other party is, and vice versa, you want to make sure that everyone is happy on both sides, because if you have one good collaboration, it should lead to many more collaborations.
Yes.
When you just see one-off collaborations, someone was disappointed. And so
you want it to lead to a partnership.
Yeah, you want it to build up.
You want it to build up. That's the whole point as well.
Yeah.
And with your partnerships, when you are in that partnership, nurturing that partnership, one of our clients, one of the things they did say was that when they were looking for a production company, the one thing that they were very disappointed with was that there was a lack of customer service from the agency to the client. And a lot of the time we think the term customer service is merely exclusive to like retail stores. However, this also includes working with people. Do you have that customer service? And that's super, 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 super key, is treating them like gold, treating each other like gold, basically. Yes.
Oh my God, I just recalled a partnership gone awry that I had recently. I'm not going to name names because I just don't feel like it's that. I don't want to ruin someone's business. They're still new. So what I will say is, like, because the customer service point was so important, poor communication.
Mm-hmm.
When you've asked someone to do something that probably it started off looking mutually beneficial for sure.
Right.
And then communication really just disappeared.
Right.
Things started happening. I'm communicating with this person and I'm not getting anything back for days. And then in the middle of when I do receive new communication, the whole plan's changed. And I'm like, this is not what I agreed to. Yeah. This is not the contract I signed.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just felt like maybe if you were going to change something, you probably would have wanted to alert me first because you're dealing with my brand as well. And so just having that respect to say, like, if something is going to change dramatically, you need to let them know in advance and make sure that, like, if you're going to if you're the person that's kind of running or operating whatever platform this is going on, you need to be so clear on what is happening. Like, you cannot just change the game halfway through and then expect people to be cool with
it. It's thinking that outside of that collaboration or partnership that person doesn't have a life. Everybody has other things going on, and what happens is decisions are made internally, and because one person feels like they have more of a clout is like the word of the year to like now, but like if they have more clout, then they feel like they don't need to communicate certain things, that when they do communicate it, you'll just accept it.
Yeah.
And that's no way to approach anything outside of yourself. Like, you have to always be in communication with those people and ask them if this is suitable for them, if this works for them, if they're happy with this. Because when we tend to forget that partnership is two different people coming together and mutually agreeing to this thing, not so much two of the same people coming together.
Yeah, always ask. I think just put it, phrase, even if you made a decision, just phrase it as a question.
Yeah.
Just phrase it that way to make it feel like it was their idea. Because maybe they're not going to be opposed to what your new new thing is. But if you just state, like, this is what we're doing now, and I didn't have any kind of say or thought in that, I'm going to feel some type of way.
It's less about what you say, it's about how you say it. We always hear that, right? And it's super, super key.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, all throughout, like, working with people, putting that at the helm. Yeah.
Yes, communication in your partnerships. Just don't get that wrong. which leads really nicely into what to do if it's not working out. Oh, God. If you have a contract, well, you will be in a very good position.
You'll be fluffy.
You'll be chill. I mean, as long as you got your contract done by someone sensible and professional. If you have a contract should state pretty clearly what happens in the event that you want to end the relationship or they want to end the relationship. And it should state clearly who gets what, where, and how.
Yes.
If anything, the contract should just basically state what happens when this ends.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be it could be an amicable end. It could be a very fine, like, we're not working together anymore, but everyone knows where they stand on ending upon termination. You have to have a hard conversation. To be honest, there is just no way of avoiding
hard conversation. There's no easy way of avoiding that. I always recommend, I mean, do you recommend that people do it face-to-face or over the phone? Because that is difficult to have.
Yeah.
Or over email.
Me being who I am, and I'm naturally non-confrontational, I would want to do it over email. However, I know what my tone is. How my tone can be perceived in email. People always misinterpret my emails.
Over the phone. Then.
Yeah, over the phone or face to face if you're in the same city.
Yes.
For sure. Just because if you have I have a very professional way of communicating in email. Like, it's just ingrained in me to be very, like, to the point.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's blunt and sometimes it's very direct. People don't like that all the time. It will not work when you're trying to end something. So sometimes you do have to just get on the phone, even
and if
you hate
and
it.
If you are face to face, I think especially when you're British, you have, or anyone really, but British people are very passive aggressive. Mm-hmm. So when you're face to face, you're less likely to be mean anyway because British people aren't known to be super confrontational.
Yeah.
So you're probably going to be nicer. Another person is probably going to be nicer, and it will end a lot more nicer than it would have ended if it was done over email. Yeah. On email, it's
everything
easy to
escalates.
Talk. It's easy to talk crap over email. It's easy to be patronizing over email. It's easy to be condescending. And you never want to end something like that. I always believe in not burning bridges.
Absolutely.
Not because you're going to work with them in the future, but just because you don't want that energy to linger with you over your next partnerships and so on and so forth.
For sure.
So it's always good to see someone face to face. And even if you don't end up having it face to face because they don't want you to have it face to face, just maybe sending them something afterwards, or maybe finding a way to see them months after to just be like, we're good, or like, I want to take you to coffee and just like end this really well, because a couple months ago it was a bit challenging. So yeah, send gifts and stuff like that, yeah, as well. I think it's a nice way.
That sounds really nice. Some partnerships with self.
I mean, yeah,
and
of course,
I personally have no desire ever to work with people again. And I'm gonna be so I'm being very honest, like, therapy work,
but you are 100%. Going to get to a point where you're gonna see whoever that person is and you're gonna be like, it's all good.
I mean, yeah, no,
you will.
But you will. There's a lot of people I will never work with again. But what I will not do, and this is something that morally I just cannot and I will not abide by, is I will never publicly slander or shame your name. Like, I will not do it. Right.
That's my
benchmark. Yeah. Cardi B you. Like, I see you and I don't speak. That means I don't.
Oh my God. You use the lyric.
But honestly, Bodak Yellow was my jam, right? But I will never like publicly come for anyone or their business, because one, people make mistakes, people learn from those mistakes, people grow, they develop, things change, you learn the hard way. I've learned the hard way. I do think it's really important that when it does end, you do try to have it. If it feels like it's going really badly, try to get face to face.
Yeah.
I think that's essential.
Salvage something.
It will tend to make things ever so slightly better.
Ever so slightly.
Just because, like you said, people don't tend to be super rude. Well, most people won't be super rude.
Yeah.
If you know you're not going to work with that person again, just try to end that in a way that says, you know what, this really just didn't work out. And actually, it's all business. Like, do not make business personal.
Yeah.
That is like that's a lesson that everyone needs to do not ever for a second make business personal.
Ever, yeah.
And also when things are going wrong, everyone's ego seems to just flare to like 100 and everyone wants to win. Don't fall into those traps of wanting to win the argument for the sake of winning. Do not fall into the trap of trying to one up them, or be slight like snaky and sneaky and like the contract, like,
and carrying that energy into your conversation and your responses as well. That ego can really, really
the
damage things.
It
could damage something more than it already would have been.
Yeah,
it can make it a lot worse than it already is.
If you can go into the situation with actually what is very important is going into that situation with some level of compassion. Maybe they're going to be obtuse and not see it from your way, but the least you can do is try and see it from the other side. And that's really how I've managed to end things, at least with me feeling in good conscience ending things that I knew were never going to happen again, is that I understand why you feel that way. I understand how you came to those feelings, that understanding of the situation. I really can see it. I can understand that if I was in this position, this is how I would probably most likely feel and understand this to be. That doesn't mean I agree with it, but I can understand it. And because I can understand it, I can come to you with a solution that kind of matches that where your head is at. And I think that's really important as well. So we need an action for the listeners. What should they do when they end? What is it? What action they can take when they are entering a partnership or a collaboration?
Write down your intentions, and make that known. Be unapologetic about that. In business, I love business people that are very open and honest about what they want out of something. So that is extremely key. Because if you don't mention it in the beginning, you're going to end up mentioning it halfway through or when the contract's done, and you really don't want that. That's going to cause a lot more issues than you would have had if you just owned up to it at the beginning. It creates room for transparency as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one.
Yes, that's one solid action. I think intentions are important, just because it sets a tone for creativity and coming up with really great solutions from both sides to fulfill those intentions. Whilst you are setting your personal intentions, I think it's also worth thinking about what the other party can gain or what they will benefit from.
Yeah.
Just so that it shows that you're thinking about both sides, especially when you're entering your partnerships, both parties want to feel like each person cares a little bit about what they're entering into and that they have been chosen for a reason. They don't want to feel like you could just be anybody at the end of the this deal. So make sure that when you're setting your intentions, you've also given just some, you've given thought to the other person and what they stand to gain, or what they stand to benefit from doing this with you.
If you aren't following Prisca, I don't know what you're doing. You can follow her on Twitter and Instagram at Prisca Moyesa. That's PRISCAMOYESA. Her feed is incredible. And if you want to hire her and her team to create some dope content for your business, visit moyesa.co. That's MOYESA.co. Also, I'm so excited to share that Prisca and I are going to be doing a live show on Saturday, the 2nd of June. So to cop tickets, you need to check the link in the bio. Everything will be available on Eventbrite, and all the information about the show will be coming out in the next few weeks. We are so excited to bring this live and direct to you all. So please do make sure you get your tickets nice and early, because we are only doing an intimate and small session for our first time. If you like how this podcast is made and you think you can do what I do, then you need to reach out to the Shoutout Network. To find out more about membership, visit shoutoutnetwork.co.uk. And also, we just dropped a new podcast, Not Another Book Podcast. So if you're into books and love reading, and I mean really love reading, this podcast is for you. So check it out. Be sure to follow Wannabe on Twitter and Instagram at Wannabe Podcast. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please do leave a review on iTunes. You need a Mac computer or an Apple iPhone. Please do leave them. I love getting them. To get extended show notes, a listing of the tools and resources we've talked about on this episode and past episodes, visit wannabepodcast.com, as show notes are updated every Wednesday. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.